I really want you and me to think about the question, why do you come here? I mean, why do you come to this place on Saturdays to come to this congregation? And let's just give it some thought. I think that there's probably a variety of reasons why people actually come here. I think some people would say that they like the praise and worship, and they enjoy it, and they enjoy worshiping the Lord that way. So that's probably one factor. Another person might say that they get challenged by the messages, and that's helpful, you know, to them. Another person might say, well, they enjoy the Jewish traditions, and they like the connection with the past. So that may be another reason that person comes. Another one might be they just enjoy the fellowship here, the brothers and sisters. Or maybe they want their children to be raised in a Jewish way, so they enjoy the Shabbat school, coming from that perspective. Or maybe they like Oneg, although of course that couldn't be the reason the last couple weeks. I noticed the numbers are down a little bit. I don't know if that's the Oneg factor, but no, I'm kidding. But anyway, maybe that's some reason. Maybe somebody comes, they just enjoy the idea of eating afterwards. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe it makes them feel connected. In other words, a lot of times the Jewish stuff, it connects, makes everything whole. Or maybe the service provides purpose for them. Or maybe, like I said, maybe they just feel comfortable. They like being here. It makes them feel comfortable. All these good reasons why people might come here. But let's turn to the portion of Scripture that was read in the Torah today, Leviticus chapter 9, and let's look at some interesting issues. Now, I'm going to try to, beginning this week, in part because I couldn't think of anything better to say, but also because I really feel like this is more in keeping with the way it's done in the synagogues, is that normally the message surrounds the Torah portion. And so what I'm going to try to do from now on is focus more on that, which is what the tradition is. So let's look at Leviticus 9, which was what Ed read. And let's read it again. On the eighth day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take a bull calf for your sin offering and a ram for your burnt offering, both without defect, and present them before the Lord. Then say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defect, for a burnt offering and an ox and a ram for a fellowship offering to sacrifice before the Lord, together with a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. And they took the things Moses commanded to the front of the tent of the meeting, and the entire assembly came near and stood before the Lord. And then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Now, the question is, when we read this passage, you have to ask, why did the Israelites go through all these permutations? You know, I mean, you got to get this offering and a ram and a calf and do all this, and it's endless, you know. And when you read through Leviticus, you see it. It's like almost endless types of details. And the question is, well, why did they go through all of this? And it says in verse 6, it provides the reason. And notice what it says at the end of verse 6, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. That's the whole reason they did it. That's the only reason they did it, was so that they would usher in the glory of the Lord would be there among them. And actually, what the priests were going through in this chapter is actually very similar to what many of us go through here on a Saturday morning or to get ready for Saturday morning, really. I mean, let's talk about it for a second. You think about the praise and worship team. I mean, the praise and worship team, they come here on Thursday, they practice with the sound people and everything else, and then they come here early Saturday morning, get everything ready, go through practice and all this. I mean, there's a lot of work involved, you know, and they practice at homes as well. Or the message that I have to give, you know, it's not like just stand up here and just shoot something out of my mind. You know, it takes work, you know, and so on. Or the liturgy that is done by whomever does it. There's a lot of practicing and going over stuff and preparation and getting ready for it and so forth. Or the Shabbat school, same thing there, where the teachers prepare before they give them, you know, they give the talk. It's very important. Or even Oneg, same thing. People preparing food, bringing food down, getting serving and cleaning and so on. Or the dance, the same thing with all the practices that go on and all the demands and so forth. Building restoration, it's all of it. And it's a lot of work, quite frankly, for all of us, for everybody who's involved, there's a lot of work. And the question is, for what purpose? Why do we do what we do? And the answer should be, is to prepare the way for the glory of God. That's the only reason that any of us should be doing anything in this synagogue, is to prepare the way for the glory of God. The praise and worship team doesn't come up here to give a good performance, okay? So that you and I can just enjoy some nice music and just kind of, you know, bounce around and have a good time and all this kind of stuff. Or, you know, and I mean, you know, and I don't prepare a message, you know, to tickle one's ears and so forth. I mean, it's done, all these things that everybody does, it should be for the purpose of preparing the way for the glory of God to come into our midst. That's the whole reason that we should be coming to this place. Why do we approach the temple? It's to experience the glory of God, or that's the goal, it should be. Now, look what happens in Leviticus 9. Let's turn to verse 22. And at the end of all this, it says, Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them, and having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. And Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. And when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. You see, it wasn't a show. They were there to see the glory of God, and when they saw the glory of God, there was joy, because that was the whole reason they went through all this stuff, was to see the glory of God. And when they did it, they had joy and they fell face down because of what happened. That's what happens. Now notice what happens next, though, in this somewhat tragic passage that we're going to read about in Leviticus chapter 10. It says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. And so fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. And Aaron remained silent. Now the question is, what cost these men their lives? I mean, this was pretty tragic. I mean, this is about as serious as a situation can get. And what cost these men their lives? And you know what the answer is? It's carelessness. They were careless. You see, and say, well, that's kind of severe for carelessness. No. We're not talking, folks, we're not talking about an innocent mistake. Okay, these people, it wasn't like, oh, shoot, I didn't know any better. Oh, no! You know, that's not the way it happens, okay? They knew what they were supposed to do, but they didn't care. That's the problem, you see? They knew what they were supposed to be coming for, but they didn't care. They went about their duties, they fulfilled their obligations and responsibilities, but they were careless in what they were doing because their heart showed they didn't really care that much. They could care less. That's carelessness. And about God's specifics in this particular instance. And you know what? They didn't honor the Lord. Because when you are careless with God, things of God, what it's really showing is you don't honor the Lord. And when that happens, the judgment of God is going to fall as a result. That's why what happened happened. You see, all the details. In other words, why does the praise and worship team want to get, you know, all the music right, all the notes right? Yes, it's to provide a nice sound. We want to do that. But the purpose of it is for a vehicle to worship the Lord and to allow the glory of the Lord to come forth. You don't want a distraction. You don't want something where somebody hits a wrong note or somebody's playing a different song than the other person is playing a song, and it becomes distracting and it sounds chaotic, and it's, you know, it's like, what's going on? We want the glory of the Lord to be here. And so people have to be serious about what they're doing. Not so that they can impress man, but so that they can impress the Lord. See, that's the goal. We want, in what we do, to impress God. For God's favor to be on us so much that his presence comes down into this place. And then when that happens, anything goes at that point. I mean, anything can happen when the Lord shows up. It's literally anything can happen. And that should always be our goal. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. which we read in the New Covenant reading, Matthew 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, 23. Yeshua says this, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, why did he say this? Why did he say to, if you have something with your brother, before you come to the altar, before you bring your gift before the Lord, get yourself right with your brother if there's some problem? And the answer is this. It's because unresolved conflicts between people block the glory of God. That's what happens. And you see, Yeshua's interest is for people to experience the fullness of the glory of God. And if there's something that blocks it, then that's got to get resolved first. For you and I to come to the temple here, I mean, this is called the temple. It's not actually a real temple. The temple is our bodies now, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because in the times of Yeshua, the temple was where the Spirit resided in Jerusalem. But now we have our own temple, but these are often in the Jewish tradition called temples, because it's where the Lord resides, in their view. And so you come here, presumably, to see the Lord. That's the reason, that's the primary reason and motivation for us to come to the congregation, is to see and experience the Lord. And what happens is, if we have unresolved conflicts between one another, what ends up happening is it prevents us from experiencing the Lord. And the question is this, why come? Why come? I mean, if you're not going to experience the glory of the Lord, then why show up here? You know, because otherwise you're wasting your time and you're wasting other people's time. Really? I mean, I'm not trying to be nasty, but that's the reason we're to come. And it is incumbent upon you and me to resolve conflicts between one another. Because you're not only blocking the glory of God in your own life, but you're blocking the glory of God in the community's life by having unresolved conflicts. And you need to get them resolved. It doesn't mean that the answer is, well, I'm not going to resolve those conflicts, so I'm not going to come at all. No, the answer is you resolve the conflicts and come. Amen? It's not that hard. And you say, but I've tried, and the other person doesn't want to resolve with me. Have we ever heard of forgiveness? I mean, just letting it go, trusting the Lord, just forgiving them, saying, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to love them and forgive them. That's all God really wants. If we've given it our best, Scripture says that we're to be at peace with all men as much as it is possible. If we can't go any further, okay. You know, let's not beat a dead horse, okay? Because the key here is allowing the glory of God to be in our midst. That's the reason that we come. Now, what is the glory of God? Do we ever think about that? What does it mean to have the glory of God? What is it? You know what? We say it on many weeks. When we say the Kaddish here, we are expressing that the glory of God would be here. And the part of the Kaddish goes like this. It says, may he establish his kingdom during your life. Where? Here. His kingdom here. Or the Lord's Prayer, which is a derivative of the Kaddish, says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, the glory of God is bringing his presence and his rulership from heaven to earth. That's what the glory of God is, which means his rulership in our lives, from heaven over our lives and over where we live and what we do. That's what it means to be the glory of God. Let's look at a couple of examples. Turn with me to Isaiah 6. Let's see how some of the folks saw the glory of God. Isaiah 6, well-known passage. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. You see? It's the presence and rulership of the Lord that constitutes his glory. That's what it means. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. Similar passage. Revelation 4, verse 5. It says this. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was flying like an eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. And notice what they're saying. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." You see, God is fully present in heaven where he rules and reigns. And his goal, or our goal, should be to experience his glory on earth, and particularly of all places, right in this room on Saturday morning. That is the goal, is to experience what they're experiencing, where we cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." You see, who was and is to come. That should be our goal. That should be what we come for, is to experience. That's why we approach the temple. Now, you know what? When we see the Lord, everything else changes. You see, it's everything, it's like everything that we thought was reality suddenly turns, and it doesn't become as important anymore. That's what ends up happening. Our priorities change. Our usage of time changes when we see the glory of God. It's our relationships change. These little petty little problems that we have with one another, when we see the glory of God, it's like, why am I so hung up on this? It doesn't matter that much. What matters is the power and glory of God. Our values change. Our perceptions change. Everything changes when we see the Lord. That's what happens. And you see, in Isaiah's case, when we just read before, in the year that King Uzziah died, see, that was very important, because Uzziah, the king, was a close friend of Isaiah, and he was bummed. He didn't want to lose his king, and he wasn't sure who was going to come up instead. Was there going to be a righteous king like Uzziah? And so Uzziah's like kind of bummed out. But then when he sees the glory of God, it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter, because he knows that God is ultimately in control. And everything really changes at that point. You see, so many things in your life and in my life get resolved in the glory of God. And hence, it should be the primary reason that we're coming here. You see, whether you or I are coming here to serve or to receive or to do both on a Saturday morning, it should be to see and to experience the glory of God. That's why we come. You know, it's interesting. In temple times, there was so much about the temple that was visual, that would help one to worship when you understand what it looked like, what the purposes were. And in the temple times, you know, you had this magnificent temple. The people would approach either for sacrifices, and particularly during feasts, there would be massive crowds approaching. And before the temple, to get up into the temple area, you'd have to climb these significant steps, because it was high. It was high up on a hill in Jerusalem. And you have to go up these steps. And it's really interesting that as the pilgrims, and I'm not talking about the Puritans who came to the United States, I'm talking about the pilgrims, those who traveled to Jerusalem to worship the Lord in the temple, as they would climb these steps to the temple, they would chant certain psalms from the Bible. Those are known as the psalms, or songs of ascent, which happens to be Psalm 120 through 134. It's 15 psalms that they would chant, and they would, because it would draw them closer. As they're getting closer to God's presence in the sanctuary, they would be acknowledging him and all the things that they were expecting him to do. And let's look at one of those songs of ascent, Psalm 121 right now, as we approach the temple. And let's see what he says, one of them, Psalm 121. As we're approaching the temple of the Lord. Psalm Psalm 121. Verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the rabbi. I guess the print's not large enough, right? Larger print Bible, that's the problem. But how many people really think that a lot of times? Or my help comes from another brother or sister. Or my help comes from a leader. My help comes from somebody. And so what happens is when help doesn't come from that person, then they get offended or they get discouraged or they don't want to come here anymore because somebody has offended them. And you know, sometimes I think the problems that you and I have and can't seem to get over are because we're not looking for help in the right place. See, our help comes from the Lord. See, that's what the scripture says. These folks, when they went into the temple, they were going up the steps and they were saying this. They said, my help comes from the Lord. Let's say that together. My help comes from the Lord. That's where the answers come from. That's where our lives are changed. I don't know. I hope this is not a revelation to you, but I can't do anything to change your life. It's only the Lord can do it. I love this one. I think I've shared this before. For those of you that have never read the great classical work, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, I really recommend it. It's a brilliant book by a brilliant man. And he calls himself, it's an allegory, he calls himself Christian. And he's on a path to find the Lord. And on this path, he sees some guy who's just standing in the pathway. It's like this. That's all the guy does. And he looks at the guy, he looks where he's pointing, and the guy is pointing to the Lord. You see, and this man's name, his title is Evangelist, because he's to point him to the Lord. And you see, that's your and my job together, is to help point one another to the Lord. You see? Because that's where our help comes from. That's where the change comes from. That's where the glory of God comes from. And notice what it says in verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Folks, we might think that you have been wiped out, but not really. God is, he's always there. And he's waiting for you to call. And he can help you and change your situation. If you come here to expect another to resolve your problems, or if you come here to for any other reason, because you just enjoy things or whatever, you're coming to the wrong place. You and I need to be coming in here so that we as a community can experience the glory of God together and be changed and to be transformed. And then the light that we experience can then go out and it can change the world among us. That's what it's all about. We have got to see his glory. That should be the goal. That should be why we come. And when you do, everything changes in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this temple. Lord, we thank you for the building. We thank you that we have to walk up steps to get to this place like they did in the temple. And we thank you, Lord, for the restoration of this place, Lord, because it brings beauty. But Lord, we want to come here for the right reasons, Lord. Father, we don't want to be careless like Nadab and Abihu, Lord God, who were careless in the things of you and they brought judgment on themselves, Lord. Father, we want to honor you in everything that we do so that we see your glory, Lord God. Father, Lord, get our hearts right, Lord. Help us to throw off those things that entangle us and keep us back. Offenses, Lord, against one another, Lord God, that prevent us from seeing the glory of God, Lord. Little things, little foxes that ruin the vine for our lives, Lord. Father, we don't want these things in our lives anymore. But Lord, we want to do everything to see and experience your glory in our lives, Lord. And then take that and help to change the world, Lord God. Father, we honor you today. We exalt you today. We worship you this very day, Lord. Father, we repent of the small, stupid things that we do, Lord God, that keeps our eyes from you, Lord. And Father, we want to acknowledge that you are the one, you are our help, Lord, And we look to you for that help. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.